This is Jay Sekulow. Tonight, the president gives the State of the Union message. It's certainly fair to say the State of the Union is interesting.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This president understands that he has to work across the political spectrum in order to achieve any advancement of his agenda items. He certainly knows that, is keenly aware.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Tonight's speech, we are told, will be one bill that focuses on a number of important issues: economic prosperity, international cooperation, and safety. But to be sure, we'll also hear a great deal about border security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. State of the Union, certainly interesting. I say that because there's a lot of issues at play. We're going to talk about what issues we expect to come up tonight, but we really want to hear from you, our listeners, as to what you would like to have the president address. What are you looking for? What issues do you want to see addressed this evening? We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me start with Jordan. What are you expecting tonight?
I think that, again, we've heard that it's not going to be the president really taking on the Democrats and trying to divide the country in a more partisan way than it already is. So trying to offer solutions to move forward so there's not another government shutdown, which, again, this is unique. I think it is an interesting time for the State of the Union. Remember, this was already a State of the Union that was pushed back because of a government shutdown, and there's another government shutdown looming. There's another date looming next Friday. So it's a unique time to speak to the country and a time where I think you put as many cards on the table as possible when you're trying to get a House led by Democrats and a Senate led by Republicans to come to some sort of agreement on border security and, of course, the immigration reforms that would be coming with that as part of the compromise. How specific we get, that's the big question. Is, do you hear specifics or is it broader? And that's again, up to the president and his team as they're preparing that tonight. Also, I think very important is the accomplishments along the way outside of it's not just about the border wall tonight. There's a lot of the economy is always very important. Sure. The jobs reports have been incredible, and the media plays that down, even though they are shockingly good each month. And, of course, foreign policy, national security, that all comes into play.
Andy, what are you expecting? What do you want to see tonight addressed?
I think the president is going to highlight his achievements, and there are many. I mean, the fact is, there's no unemployment in the United States to speak of. The stock market at the moment is in the mid-25,000s. The economy is going great. The Federal Reserve has said it's going to be patient on the increase in interest rates, which has caused, I think, an optimism generated by the president's leadership. I think in foreign affairs, he has checked ISIS. I think he's working on something with North Korea. I think the China trade deal is in the wings. I think it's... The president is going to talk about it's going to be a traditional scripted format. I think it's going to really reach out toward Democrats and try to be truly bipartisan.
Yeah, Harriet, that's one of the things I want to talk about. I think he has a real chance of getting of communicating areas where there could be some agreement: infrastructure, immigration reform. There are areas where Democrats and Republicans can work together. The government needs to function during the next 2 years.
I think you're precisely correct, and so I anticipate that the president will offer innovative bipartisan solutions which will appeal to independents, Republicans, and perhaps some Democrats. But also it's important to keep in mind that there are a number of Democrats who have basically lambasted the speech before it has been given.
Yeah, certainly Chuck Schumer. Then out of Washington, what are you hearing across the street? What are you expecting?
Well, the phrase coming down from the White House, Jay, is this one of choosing greatness. So I think the panel there is correct. I mean, I think it's going to be aspirational. I think it's going to be positive. I think you're actually going to hear a lot about there are areas where we can cooperate together. I think border security and infrastructure might be two of the top lines. But, Jay, I think there's going to be some surprising ones on foreign policy, maybe even trade, too, where he speaks specifically to Democrats and says, come aboard, let's work together on these issues.
I think that's right. All these issues are going to be front and center. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Phone lines are jamming up. Now, also, we filed our brief in the pro-life case yesterday. There's going to be an order coming out of the Supreme Court on another pro-life case, another life case on Friday. There's a lot going on there. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We're going to go right to our phones, but let me say this. I think this is going to be an important speech. There's always this hype before you. I mean, Chuck Schumer sending out these, you know, I will tell you, the pageantry of the event, Harry, will take over as it always does, and people will line up and they'll be clapping and the president will make the grand entrance and it's going to be America. That's what we do. When that way, we're a lot like the British.
I think that is correct. And I think
we don't boo as much.
I think the American people will respond. I think independent voters will respond. The timing of the speech, I think, is helpful for the president's agenda. And so long as he offers concrete steps toward bipartisanship, I think that will appeal to most American people. And so I think it will be a very successful speech.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Robert's called in from Maryland, online too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, how much time in the State of the Union speech do you anticipate President Trump talking about border security and immigration reform, especially in the context of the national security and also in the public safety of all Americans?
I think that you tied them together correctly, Robert. That is, I don't think you'll see just a discussion about border security and then 15 minutes later in the speech there'll be a discussion about immigration reform. I would expect that you're going to see a link between immigration reform and border security. Now, you know, our view has been consistent, and that the ACLJ, we think we should have comprehensive immigration reform, which would include the DACA, would include the people here on temporary status, would include the 12 to 18 million, whatever the number is, that are here undocumented, that would have either a pathway to citizenship or work visas or some type of permanent status after background checks, got to pay taxes and the like. So I don't know what the president's going to say on that, but I do expect, and I'll ask everybody this, I think you've got to link them. I think the two have to be linked because they are linked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that everything here is going to link to, when it comes to domestic policy, is about moving forward as a country. How do we move forward past the shutdowns we were talking about during the break? Is that this is going to be, we cannot get to the big reforms if we can't get the basic government funded, which means next Friday, if you have one of those every 3 weeks, you're not going to get a major infrastructure bill. You can't get immigration reform through, even if there's agreement on it, and the border security through, because every 3 weeks you're worried about a government shutdown and people getting their paychecks. So there has to be something addressed very quickly. I mean, we're talking about in 10 days.
Yeah, Andy.
Yeah, I think you have to move very quickly. Obviously, as Jordan has pointed out, you're facing a government shutdown threat on February the 15th if some deal is not worked out. But I think immigration reform, I really do believe he's out to achieve that, and he's holding out an olive branch to the Democrats, is going to be a top priority. But it's going to be linked. There's going to be a linkage between that and building some sort of border security, whether you call it a wall,
a fence,
a barrier, a human chain link, whatever they—
Human wall, I called it today.
Human wall, you know, whatever it is. We've got to have security at our southern border. That's where the problem is.
So Harry, I'm looking at the situation and saying, look, I think Robert asked a great question. Those are going to be two dominant issues, I would think. It's going to be immigration and border security, but they're linked, and you really can't decouple them. And I don't think the president wants to decouple them. I think he wants comprehensive immigration reform, but he wants border security.
I think that's correct, and I believe he will articulate a policy which links these two issues, because at the end of the day, you cannot solve one of these issues without solving the other. We have had a 40 or 50 year history of not addressing the big elephant, which is on the stage, which is immigration reform and border security. The president has a national security responsibility to secure the border. At the same time, we need comprehensive immigration reform, and we need to do something with the number of individuals that are here that are undocumented, as well as dealing with individuals that are in the United States that are overstaying their visas. And we also need, for instance, deal with the visa lottery situation. All of those issues demand a solution, and hopefully we will see one tonight.
Yep. All right, we're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Lisa's calling in from Michigan Online 3. Lisa, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
All right, Lisa, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question.
Yep.
I wanted to know why Stacey Abrams is going to be speaking on behalf of the State of the Union.
My sense, I'm going to go to Harry and to Than on this, but I'll start with Than. My theory is that this is they're putting forward the progressive wing of their party, although she was not successful in her run for governor of Georgia, that they're trying to put forward the progressive wing, and Nancy Pelosi made this was part of the negotiation, I suspect.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer made that calculation. I think she will appeal to the progressive base. I also think it's an opportunity for Stacey Abrams, Jay. I mean, she has said that she's not done running for public office. So a lot of times you'll give this response to someone who wants to make a future run and you can lay down a platform. I do think it's going to be tricky for her, though, Jay, because you just had that conversation with Harry about the president making the very clear case for border security and then inviting Democrats to come to the table. It's going to be pretty difficult for Stacey Abrams to respond in a way that is anything other than coming to the table to negotiate. And I suspect she won't do that, Jay. That's going to be a tough sell for her to make.
The response is always difficult. I mean, Harry, yep, when you look at the absolutely. State of the Union, responding to the State of the Union, no matter if you're Republican or Democrat, always difficult. But don't you think it's an intentional move to Stacey Abrams out there to placate that wing of the Democratic Party?
I think that is correct, but I also think that there's a high probability that it will fail, because often the responder looks worse after the response than better. And so I think in some respects, it may do more harm to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party than good. And if that's the case, I welcome it.
Yeah.
Georgia politics. Yeah, I think it's trying to push Stacey Abrams into running for Senate, and this is after a grueling campaign that she lost and was very bitter about, filing court challenges, trying to say the governor of Georgia's illegitimate governor. And now there's another Senate race on the horizon when Donald Trump is up back on the ballot, so that much tougher. It's an incumbent, popular Senator David Perdue, who has not made a lot of waves, put Trump on the ballot. So you get the Trump factor and a senator who has been a pretty middle of the road conservative, in a good sense for Georgia. So trying to find a good candidate for the Democrats, not easy. So I think this may have been a trade off directly. You get this if you run for Senate.
Andy?
Well, you know, I'm from Georgia, and having watched the campaign in Georgia, you're talking about in Stacey Abrams a confirmed hardline left wing progressive. I mean, she said during her campaign that she welcomed support from all people, legal and illegal. I heard that with my own ears. So this is an appeal to the left, hard left of the Democratic Party, and I think it's a Pelosi put up.
I think that's probably right. I think this, they had to placate a wing of their party, and that's what they did. Now, whatever you think of Stacey Abrams' political skills or oratory skills, let me tell you something. That if you look at it historically, like Harry said, it's a very tough spot to be in, no matter if you're Republican or Democrat. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see tonight what the reaction is. It'll be very interesting to see what the reaction is on the president. We'll have a full analysis of it, obviously, tomorrow. Let's try to grab another call before the break.
Sure. Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire on Line 5. Dave, welcome to JSEC Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call and for all you guys do. I'm very hopeful that part of his speech is going to focus on the situation we have with law and order in this country. You know, if the law's not good, fix the law. That's what the lawmakers are supposed to do. But you can't just ignore the law, which is what we've been doing and which is why we have this disaster.
Well, you're talking about a law and order speech. In what context? In criminal? I think he'll talk about his justice reform proposals. That's going to be, I'm sure, highlighted. I know that Senator Tillis, I don't know this will be part of the speech, but Senator Tillis from North Carolina has invited our client Andrew Brunson, who was freed from Turkey just a few months back, will be at the State of the Union tonight. But I don't know if there'll be a law and order speech. I don't, you know, it's hard to say. The president's obviously in favor of law and order, but they may tout the justice reform. And that could be one of the things that happens.
I think they might tout some form of justice reform, as you suggest, but I don't think it will occupy a large fraction or time for the president. I think it's clear beyond question that the president strongly supports law and order, compliance with the rules, including with respect to immigration. And I think immigration reform and infrastructure are likely to occupy a much larger fraction of the president's time tonight.
I think that's probably right. I mean, my sense of it is that these things are always thematic the way they're based. They're thematic in their response. What do you think the big in 40 seconds, Dan, the big theme takeaways will be?
I think American greatness and national security, how not having national security can impact that, Jay. And just on the law and order point, I think he will make the case that our immigration laws are basically outdated to 1986. And part of them bringing them up to speed is making sure we do follow law and order so that the immigration laws on our books can actually be enforced. But I think all of it will funnel back to this idea of achieving American greatness, Jay.
There's also one of the individuals that are going to be at the State of the Union tonight. Is Alice Johnson. She was granted clemency on June 6, 2018, after being personally lobbied by Kim Kardashian. Remember that, Wes? Do you remember that situation? She's now an advocate in criminal justice reform. She's actually going to be at the State of the Union this evening, so I'm sure that will be addressed. All right, back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. The big question for you today is, what is, in your opinion, what is the state of the union? I mean, I think it's easy to say, yes, we're a divided country politically, but yet our economy is moving forward. You know, the jobs numbers are great each month and they're exceeding expectations. So oftentimes when the economy is booming, we start focusing on other issues. You know, when the economy is not doing well, that's all people focus on is how do we get back to doing better in the economy? When the economy is doing well, we kind of take it for granted and start focusing in on other issues as well. I want to hear from folks too. You know, we had a question on Facebook during the break, which is what does infrastructure, rebuilding infrastructure mean? And I know we have a lot of truckers who listen to this broadcast who see the country. You know, they listen on Sirius XM throughout different states so they can keep moving and listen to our broadcast. And I'd love to hear from them because, I mean, anytime, again, wherever you are, whether it's in a city, whether it's in a on the highways, and remember those federal highways, or whether it's airports, you know, with the FAA, and you see even control towers that look very outdated, and airports that need updating, bridges, obviously very important to make sure those are maintained, and we've seen disasters with them, that there needs to be funding there. So, again, that's how I see it, but I'd like to hear from people who spend their time utilizing all of America's infrastructure. So, if you're a trucker listening to this broadcast right now, I'd love to hear from you to help explain to people what the infrastructure needs you think are for the United States. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Debbie calling in from Kentucky on line 4. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all that you guys do. I really appreciate it. Well, I heard on a news show that it cost $11 billion for the last shutdown. So I don't understand why Congress, if they would have given the money the president requested, they would have saved almost $6 billion. So I really think they need to consider that cost before shutting down the government again.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. That's the number figures, Harry, we talk about the numbers, but we know that the numbers are just the political fodder that goes back and forth and all this. It's not really the numbers. Not that these are insignificant, but we know what's really going on here.
Absolutely. It's pure politics all the way down. Rational analysis suggests simply giving the president the $5 or $6 billion as a down payment on building the complete wall, we could then move on to other topics. It is clear beyond question, however, that many Democrats do not wish to move to other topics. And the wall for them is a symbol of something. It is a symbol of resistance to President Trump. And I think they are quite prepared to wastefully spend taxpayer money in order to fund their own resistance.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the situation, that the politics of this are so strong. And this is where the expectations tonight, Fan, are going to be so interesting because, you know, we've got divided government. So this is the first time the president's walking in the chamber with divided government. But yet you will see the normal, I think, kind of response that you have on these.
Yeah, the pageantry will be there, no doubt. But, I mean, think about the imagery when the president starts to deliver his speech and sitting behind him is Speaker Pelosi, who refused to even engage on this negotiation. I mean, Jay, up until this point, they've been at a political impasse. But I would suggest this. I mean, I think the president's tone has been in this place, but I don't think it should be considered in terms of whether or not the Congress is going to give the president X billions of dollars. I think it should be in terms of will the Congress partner with the president to secure the border? Now, that's going to involve dollars. Certainly, I think you can make the case that it would save money in the long run. And certainly there's going to be a barrier, but there's going to be a lot of other things that Democrats and other experts have said need to be a part of the solution. So as far as the optics tonight and the political atmospherics. The pageantry will be there. The sort of the political posturing will be there. But at the end of the day, Jay, I mean, I hope that Speaker Pelosi and the others specifically who are engaged on this conference committee realize that at the end of the day, they have a duty to deliver for the American people. Hopefully tonight can be a first step down that path.
I think that's right. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. And hey, truckers, I think Jordan's right. We want to hear from you on the infrastructure issue. You could tell us more than anybody. You're out there doing it right now. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Tommy in California is a trucker. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Tommy, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call,
so
guys.
So tell us what we need. What do we need on the infrastructure?
I'll tell you what you need.
Okay.
You need them to do it right, and you need them not just take your money and start spending it. Because here in California, let me tell you, they just passed a bunch of laws for us to include on the funding for the state highways. And I drive these highways day in, day out, and whatever they're doing, whatever companies they got going on, it's not working. 2, 3, 6 months later, we got somebody repaving roads. I don't know who's in charge of this program for our roads, but it's just not cutting it. As for
Do you do trucking out of state, out of California, or strictly California?
I do strictly in California, but I got buddies that go all over the U.S. that tell me it's great all over.
All right, so maybe there's infrastructure happening. We know there's areas where there's also there needs work, but it's another question will be, does the president, Andy, go over the fact that he's rolled back regulations that have allowed for businesses to flourish? I think that's part of the win.
Well,
here.
He ought to. I mean, and he has, and that shows in the economy and the way things are going, what the stock market is doing, what the unemployment figures are, basically zero. I think all those things ought to be emphasized.
Mike on Periscope said he's a trucker in interstate and drives the interstates, and his hope is that they need to be addressed. They need to be worked on.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of potholes. It'd be dangerous. It depends. I think that, if where you are in California, like he's saying, they're repaving the roads every 2 years. It's a high tax state. He may not like that. It may slow him down. But the fact is that they are taking in a ton of state tax income. Yeah. So roads there, that's one thing. Interstate roads, I think, is the issue. Not so much, in-state. And that's where the federal government comes into play the most. Also, transportation, the airports, the infrastructure there, and it's not just what you could see, it's also the technology behind it is so outdated. And yes, a booming economy helps because a lot of times it's private businesses that go in and reinvest. They say, we'll rebuild the terminal because we're going to brand it as a, whatever airline terminal. We'll rebuild it because you're taking too long. But I know like at LAX, one of the terminals there, it's a year and a half long project to repave and reopen.
Yeah.
That's a long time to shut down roads at a huge airport.
What do you think about the infrastructure? So, I mean, we're getting a lot of calls on it, Harry. What do you think?
Well, I think
it's good for the economy to get it fixed.
I think it's very good for the economy because infrastructure reform will actually improve productivity, which will lead to more jobs, particularly for middle and lower income Americans. In addition, I think the president has demonstrated serious economic chops with respect to rolling back regulation, but also curbing the willingness of the administrative state to issue new regulations in place of the old ones. But certainly if we focus on infrastructure reform, roads, highways, bridges, and also I think there needs to be some improvements in terms of some of our waterways. And I think there is there's bipartisan support for this.
Yep.
But is there a bipartisan willingness to move forward? That is the key question.
So, Than, when the president walks in the chamber and he hands a speech, he's going to be handing it to Nancy Pelosi. How do you think that, what do you think that does to the vibe in the room, so to speak?
Well, it's going to be quite a moment. I think they will probably be cordial in the moment. I don't know if they've had conversations leading up to it. But, Jay, I think the key test will be afterwards. Will we see a change in posture from the speaker? Because, quite frankly, we need one. We need these two leaders to come together and deliver for the American people. I think what happens after is going to be more important than maybe what happens in that moment.
All right. So let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes. Go to ACLJ.org, over to Facebook and Periscope. If you don't get the full hour of the program, get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope and call us at 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This president understands that he has to work across the political spectrum in order to achieve any advancement of his agenda items. He certainly knows that, is keenly aware, but tonight's speech, we are told, will be one bill that focuses on a number of important issues: economic prosperity, international cooperation, and safety. But to be sure, we'll also hear a great deal about border security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
And no question about that. You'll hear border security is right, but you're going to also, I think you're going to hear infrastructure. You're going to hear immigration reform. There's going to be a lot of discussions about border security, but you'll also be, I'm sure there'll be economic discussions, criminal justice reform. There's a lot of issues that will be hit tonight. Having said all of that, let me say this. I'm hopeful that this will be a chance for the country to come together. We've got, there's 2 years of a divided government here for sure. We need to see things accomplished for the American people. If you could get things like comprehensive immigration reform, border security, and infrastructure, you've accomplished three major legislative agenda items that would be, and one of those may be combined with immigration and the actual border security, but those would be three major achievements in all of this.
Yes, and I think if you could spin it away as, listen, President Trump is going to get credit for that, but so will these members of Congress, including members of Congress running for president against him. And so this idea that everybody will get credit, because honestly, it can't just be Republican, because the House is controlled by Democrats. So you can, obviously, he's the president, he will benefit the most. And is that too much for Democrats to stomach, even at issues that they'd be chomping at the bit? More spending on infrastructure. I mean, that's more government spending. So usually, anytime there's more government spending, they're right behind it. Now, because it will benefit the president more so,
yep,
even if he's not trying to say me, but us, they know that how it translates politically. And I think that are they that concerned leading into election that they're willing to let the country continue to crumble when we're doing well enough to pay for these projects?
Yeah, I think that's where there can be some bipartisan help. Let's go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Dennis in Alabama on line 4. Dennis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello again, gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm a trucker now. I've been driving about 4.5 years.
Yep.
I've been to 43 of the 48 continental states.
All right.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done. My biggest concern is bridges.
Okay.
And there's a lot of bridges. I read the reports in different magazines and outlets about deficient bridges that need serious work. There's places I could name that they have improved. They just built a new big bridge in New York State. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's they just took down the old one. They're doing good work some places.
But you're looking at when you talk about bridges and you talk about overpasses, and some people are saying, well, how big a deal is it? It's so vital to our entire economy. I'm going to go to Andy and Harry on this. So vital. What you could govern the economy or determine the economy, but what Dennis does for a living. If logistics are moving, that's a good sign for the economy. But we have roads and highways that are 60 and 70 years old.
Well, there are horrible places. I mean, in the United States, I mean, one of the worst, Jay, and you know this as well as I do, is a stretch of I-16 between Macon and Savannah, Georgia. I think that's the worst road in the continental United States. But Jordan said something interesting. The Democrats are usually behind more government spending, and I think that's true, except when it comes to a southern wall. They are not interested in that. And Harry mentioned earlier that the wall is the symbol of resistance. They have to overcome this idea of resist, 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 and they have to meet the president halfway.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. 0. We've got some lines open because we grabbed some calls right in the front. We'll take your calls on that and get you what you want to see addressed tonight at the State of the Union message. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you something, folks. Support the work of the ACLJ. We talked a lot in the last 10 days about the life issue. We filed a brief at the Supreme Court yesterday. It's going to be a big order on a case out of Louisiana on Friday that's going to have our team working. We just sent out a series of FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests to New York. Those went out yesterday on their bill. We're doing the same thing in Virginia. So our teams are working defending life. Go to ACLJ.org to support our work. That's ACLJ.org. Or call us at 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Little State of the Union themed music, is that what we'll call it? Who was that? Oh! Now, I love Chicago. That was not on my top five Chicago tunes until today. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. The State of the Union is the man Chicago. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, well, right back to the phones we go. I think let's go to Nancy. She's been holding on in California on line one. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Hey. So I'm just thinking, I don't even know how much it's worth for Trump to address the immigration thing because the court has already established what they think was DACA, so he has no leverage there. And in addition to that, the illegal immigrants that sneak in, they basically get a bus ticket and go away. So the Democrats have no reason to address the issue.
I think the country has a reason to address the issue. I think you have to do that. We're in need of comprehensive immigration reform, and this gives the president a unique opportunity to solve a host of issues. The temporary status of DACA, the temporary status of those that have temporary status, the 12 million to 18 million that are undocumented that are here. There may be, you know, as I said, there may be work, permanent work status, permanent visas, whatever it might be that you could work out, get in everybody in the tax system. But I think the country has an impetus to get this done, Harry.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there are a raft of issues associated with comprehensive immigration reform. And some of them are indeed humanitarian issues. So, for instance, we have insufficient facilities to deal with families, undocumented aliens, who are coming to the United States and seeking asylum. We have an insufficient number of administrative law judges to process asylum requests. We have an insufficient number of border agents to protect the border. And that is in addition to a border wall or a permanent barrier. So there are a raft of issues In addition to which, we have DACA and DAPA and other issues that are out there. And so there's a panoply, there's a list that I think all Americans would support the president addressing on the immigration yep. reform issue, and I think there's bipartisan support for that.
So let me throw this out, Than and Jordan and Andy, everybody can comment on this, because I'm going to give you my position. Here's the position that we've advocated at the American Center for Law and Justice, and I think this is the best position for our country. Number one, I think you cannot deny that there is a need for comprehensive, I mean thorough and comprehensive immigration reform, and I've been saying this for a decade, but I've been saying this before congressional hearings over the last couple of years when asked to talk about border security. I think there's a link. So if you want to link the border security immigration issue, I have no problem with that. So I think we need border security, not just on our southern borders, we need enhanced border security for all of our borders. Having said that, you've got three buckets of issues that relate to the comprehensive immigration reform. Of course, you've got the overlying political issue. Will the parties get to the table and negotiate? So that's kind of one. Will they actually get there to negotiate? Or is Nancy Pelosi going to say, not $1 for the wall, and therefore she won't talk about comprehensive immigration reform if it's tied into that? Well, that's not the way the body politic works. Number two is, where are the American people on this? And I think the American people are, they want comprehensive immigration reform, which leaves number three, the resolution of the issue. And I think it's a straightforward resolution. You make DACA permanent. You get status for those that have temporary status in this country. And for the 12 to 18 million people that are here, undocumented, as it's called, you do the background checks. You do either a pathway to citizenship, or if the compromise is not, that's what I would do. But if it's not that, it should be permanent work status or permanent residency status for that generation and for their kids, a pathway to citizenship, and get these people out of the shadows into production in the United States, paying taxes, and do that as part of border security. And tell me, Than, how the Democrats say, no, we're not going to the table, when you put the entire program out.
If they put substance ahead of politics, Jay, I don't think they can do that. Look, I would aim this at both Republicans and Democrats. Yes. Republicans have to acknowledge that there are tens of millions of people in this country, and it's not realistic to deport all of them. It's not going to happen. So let's have an honest conversation about how to resolve that issue. On the Democrat side of the aisle, Jay, I go back to that committee hearing that you referenced where you testified, and you told the attorney for a DACA participant, I beg of you to take seriously the idea that this protection is not statutory. Jay, if Democrats in the current Congress are going to look at the President of the United States, who's willing to offer statutory protection so these individuals are not in limbo, and they are going to choose what they think is a political chip instead of granting those participants legal protection in statute, Jay, they are doing a disservice to the DACA participants. But the question will be, will they choose substance or will they choose politics?
All right, 1-800-684-3110. I'll give my thoughts just on the issue. The president's starting out on DACA with the three-year coverage. That's a negotiating starting point. I think you would open that up to, if they're willing to go to $25 billion, you'd open it up to full.
Of course.
But you start out with, if it's $5.7 billion, so some of the funding for the border barriers, walls, security that you need. So if you're then it's an extension of DACA. If you want to go further, we can go further. What has not been discussed as much, and I don't think the president's going to throw it out there tonight, because in a sense you need to hear it from the other side that they're willing to go if this would be that.
But how do
pathway,
they? How do they,
would
but,
be the larger pathway?
But how? If you put the whole on the table, I'm not saying the president's going to do it. I have no idea. But if you put it all on the table, or how do they just not show up? How can you not show up if you say, I'm putting comprehensive immigration reform on the table as it's been discussed for 20 years? Here's the plan, and they don't show up.
There's no rational reason why they wouldn't show up. However, there are plenty of irrational reasons why they wouldn't show up. Number one, they wouldn't show up in order to stiff this particular president, even though in the long run, it's in their interest and in the constituency that they claim to represent to come to the negotiating table and to negotiate in good faith. Well, so I think one of the real issues here is whether or not good faith negotiations are possible in our current political environment. At the moment, at least, I am somewhat pessimistic, even though you offer a proposal that is incredibly rational, realistic, and would be supported by probably 80% of the American people.
I'm gonna hold out more hope than Harry. And that is because I don't see how, I mean, other than the irrationality, which of course you could see, what the political fallback on the Democratic Party would be if you had comprehensive immigration reform and you refused to go to the negotiating table on it because you don't like this president that much. And that's what they're saying. That would the risk factor to that politically, I think, would be gigantic. I mean, I think enormous.
I think so, but I tend to agree with Harry. I am not.
You're
nearly,
both Debbie Downers.
I'm not. I'm pessimistic. I'm not as optimistic with respect. Is that little Debbie? I'm not. I'm not that optimistic with respect to what the Democrats are going to do. I think their hatred and their dislike of this president is so intense that they would cut their own throats before they would give him anything that would be
put it on the table and make him
victory.
Do it. Put it on the table and make him do it, fan. Make him say no. We're not going to talk to this president, even though he's offering comprehensive immigration reform in exchange for border security. Tell him they're not going to come to the table for that.
Yeah, he's done it before and they've walked away. I would do it again, and here's why, Jay. Here's where I think there is some cause for hope. I think a party that does not come to the negotiating table, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, Jay, I think the American people see through that now. I think they're going to vote him out of office. I don't think it's just a Democrat issue. I think it's a Republican issue as well. If your party is not coming to the table, I think you're going to pay a price at the ballot box in the next election. So I agree. Put it on the table.
Yeah.
Let's negotiate. And, Jay, if you don't like the proposal, counter.
Sure.
Make a counter proposal.
What I'm starting to see quietly, not in great massive numbers, Jordan, is you've got these Democrats here and a Democrat leader here and a Democrat leader there saying, oh, yeah, I would negotiate for something like that.
Yes. I mean, now you're starting to hear a handful. You're not getting it yet from the top leadership, at least on the House side. That's the issue, is that it is the rank and file. Some of them are in districts that Donald Trump won. He's back on the ballot. They're back on the ballot in the House in 2020, all of them. So there is an issue there that is coming to light. Can they? Will they force pressure on Nancy Pelosi to actually take some action if again, you're putting all of this on the table? And it's a big if because Nancy Pelosi's in charge. She's also got the liberal wing who wants to do nothing. To help the president. They're willing to kind of filibuster the next
so
few years.
So the far left wing of the Democratic Party is going to say no to immigration reform.
Yes, they consistently have so long as there's been a Republican in the White House.
Isn't that pathetic?
And even when there was a Democrat in the White House, because
they don't want the issue gone.
Right. They want illegal immigrants to still be a major issue for the Hispanic and Latino community.
Put it out there. Let's grab another. You want to grab? No, let's not. We'll come back after the break. All right, so we're coming to the last segment of the broadcast. You could ask us about anything. We'd like to stay close to this topic because we're getting a lot of calls on it. We only have a line or two open, 1-800-684-3110, but we do have a couple of lines open. Than, what are you expecting? Give the atmospherics again tonight. I think that's important for people to hear.
Well, of course, it'll be a packed house. It'll be the familiar setting that everybody knows, the House chamber, which it looked like was in question over the last few weeks, Jay, but it will be the House chamber with members of Congress and all the dignitaries present. Jay, I think it's going to be a very optimistic evening and trying to cast a vision for the American people. I think it's going to be a calling together. But again, the president's not going to be apologetic either. I mean, look, American greatness depends on being able to defend our borders, and that is going to be one of his top line messages. He's not going to apologize for it. And quite frankly, Jay, he shouldn't, because that's why the American people elected him.
There are some saying on Facebook, do you think that the people will stand up, the members of Congress, Democrat members of Congress, will stand up when the president enters the room? And he says yes.
I mean, it's the president of the United States, whether you like him or not. It's the office that you respect.
Ben?
I say most of them will not.
Well, Jordan, you don't want to?
When he enters, I think that there's going to be some who don't, so I think it'd be mixed. There's the moderates, and then there's the
Harry
extreme.
Harry and I will save our opinion for the break. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
So yesterday on the broadcast, we were talking about a variety of issues, including Israel, and talked about the life issue. We filed a brief for the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. There was also a vote last night in the Senate on the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Well, that was raised by our senator friends. And what happened there, Than?
Yes, it was a unanimous consent request that the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act passed, which basically just said if there's a human being that's born alive and is living and breathing on the table, you have to provide life-saving care to that. You would think that would be unanimous, Jay, but of course, it was not in the United States Senate. Patty Murray from the state of Washington came down and objected, so they're going to have to go through a process and call that to a vote. We'll have a full update up at ACLJ.org soon, but Jay, this is a topic I think the president might mention tonight, because this is one in which there should be consensus.
Yeah, and I think the issue is going to be raised tonight in light of everything that's gone on in New York and Virginia, and the Virginia situation is still kind of a mess, to say the least. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, you can ask us anything. Let's go in the order the people have called. They're holding.
Yeah, let's go to, first we'll go to Gray in North Carolina, online 2. Gray, welcome to JSecu Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Gray.
Thank you. First off, Jay, you and I are about the same age,
yep.
And, you know, I grew up in Imperial Beach, California, which is kind of on the news now because of the migration that's trying to get through there. And the walls are working there just fine. So I really think that's kind of like one of the most important things that has to be taken care of, immigration, not just the wall, but the whole thing. I've got friends that are second generation. I go back to 1745 and then all the way to people waiting in Canada to come into the U.S.
Yep.
And, you know, we all need to do this the right way. The infrastructure, I drive an RV. I do the I-85, the I-95.
Yep.
It seems like they're always under construction.
Well, and Andy's shaking his head. Go ahead.
All I can do is pray for this abortion issue.
I think the abortion issue is going to come up. I don't know this, but I suspect with all of the tumult in Virginia and New York that issue is addressed.
I don't think the president cannot address it. I think because of what has happened in New York and what almost happened in
Virginia,
with respect to the delegate Tran's ill-fated "let's have it," and the governor's statement, "let's have a discussion about death after delivery." I think the president has to address that.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it will be, but I suspect that would be a topic. And that, by the way, in Virginia, you got a mess in Virginia right now, I'll tell you. I'm not going to get into commentary on that one, but you got a governor and a lieutenant governor, and it looks like they're fighting with each other, and you got a mess.
And it's all Democrats, even though CNN briefly tried to label Ralph Northam as a Republican.
My friends at CNN told me it was a mistake.
And they did change it after about 10 seconds. But honestly, I think that that is a real – the fact that it has not been resolved.
Yeah.
And now we get to the State of the Union. And if the president does mention the abortion issue, and even maybe what Ralph, not specifically name Ralph Northam, but highlight that you had a governor of a state talking about killing a child outside the womb. I mean, these are potentials for tonight. But again, if you're trying to bring them right back to getting funding, you may stay away from some of that as direct. But I still think you will talk about I think the life issue should come up because – because it is right now being addressed by our country. We're seeing that in New York. We're seeing that in Virginia and other states around the country as well. 1-800-684-3110. You can still get your call in, your thoughts on the State of the Union before it happens. Let's go to Chris in Nevada, online 5. Chris, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Along the same lines of irrationality and disrespect, I think in a childish form of protest, the House Democrats will not stand and clap tonight when the president walks in, and that will be the media's main talking point tomorrow, not what the president actually said.
So, which means we need to be concentrating on what the president actually said and what the response of Stacey Abrams is to those statements, because if they show disrespect, all that does is cheapen political discourse, and it doesn't solve anything for the American people. So I think that's a high-risk move to be that disrespectful. Could it happen? It could. But you know, these things tend to work out. But I think it's hard to predict, Harry.
I think it is hard to predict, but I think the caller is onto something when he suggests implicitly that the media is not necessarily interested in substance. They are interested in fomenting additional disputes and problems. And so I think they will focus largely, if they can, on peripheral issues rather than substance.
What do you think, Dan?
I think I'd encourage people to focus in on substance. And look, if there's a member that tonight or down the road doesn't engage on substance, no matter what party they are, Jay, they should be out of office. When we've got 2,500 known or suspected terrorists coming over the border, I'm less interested in whether or not they stand and clap as I am. Are they at the table trying to figure out how you protect the American people from that threat? If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're an independent that refuses to address that problem, Jay, you don't have any business being a federal official.
I agree. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, well, let's go to Terry in Florida on line one. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Terry.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Great.
Yes, my question is related to your very common sense resolution to the immigration problem, which I was so excited to hear that because I told my husband a couple weeks ago the very same thing. It's all common sense.
Yep.
Just make them legal, a pathway to citizenship.
Yes.
Get them on the rolls to pay their taxes. The DACA, I don't know that.
DACA is easy. Temporary status is easy. The harder one is the 12 to 18 million people that are here undocumented. That's not that complicated. You could figure that out, whether it's a pathway to citizenship, whether it's permanent work status. But I'll tell you what someone said as a comment. This was the opposition to what I said was, you said you want them to come out of the shadows, pay taxes. Well, they don't want to pay taxes. So, you know, that's an incentive for them not to do it. I said, that's not going to be a choice. If we give you legal status of some type, you've got to join the tax rolls. I'm not saying retroactive taxes. You're not going to be able to get people don't have that kind of money. But taxes going forward, yes. So then if you're here and you're not paying your taxes, you're treated like everybody else. To me, it is common sense, and I'm hopeful that eventually that issue will be addressed for the American people, and it should be tied in with border security. I completely get that, and we can get this matter resolved once and for all. Let's take one more call.
Yeah, let's go to John in Washington State on line two. Final call of the day. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thanks for so much good work that you
thanks.
All do. I'm looking forward to some common ground that those in Congress can find to, rather than obstruct the president, but find some good things that can be done on behalf of the American people.
Well, I think, that's, you get to that if you can figure out how you get the government funded. That is step one, is that the president's got to get this Congress to put something on his desk that he can support so that you can have the longer legislative processes, which will take time. You know, infrastructure takes time. Immigration reform takes time, but it's got to be able to move forward. And none of that will move forward if the government is going to close every 2 weeks or every month. And that's been a consistent problem that we have seen throughout recent presidencies.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something, folks. You've got the opportunity. I think we have the moment. I think this is the president that can actually get border security and comprehensive immigration reform done, unlike any other president in U.S. history. I think he can actually do it. And what I'm hearing today from the American people, from our audience, is you want something done. You don't want just talking about it. You want action on this. You want action on infrastructure. Let's see it happen. We'll give you a full analysis on all of this tomorrow on the broadcast. And again, if you're not getting our email alerts, you need to sign up at aclj.org. Also, follow me and Jordan and the ACLJ on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all the other social media platforms and devices. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go over to aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, aclj.org.